carefully review all your loans with a goal of restructuring your debt. So if you're still growing your real estate business, consider cash out refis with a 30-year fixed rate loan. Get as many of those as you can if you're still growing your business.
You're listening to 5-Hour Real Estate Week, where you'll learn to consistently buy real estate in only 5 hours a week. So if you're ready to invest in real estate, achieve financial freedom, and own the lifestyle you deserve, even with your job, this is the show for you. Now, here's your host, Mike Butler.
Okay. Hello there, everybody, and welcome to the 5-Hour Real Estate Week podcast. This is Mike Butler, and I'm still getting over the COVID thing. So my voice kind of crackles and things like that, but I never want to go through that again. Hopefully I'm on the coming out of that thing, and I'm crawling out of my man cave. And we've got a great topic for you today. It's called, Are You Really Ready for Changes and New Trends in Our Upcoming Real Estate Market? And if you don't have an ink pen, a notepad, I want you to get one and hit the pause button on this thing, because there's going to be a ton of good information, great information in here. It's going to be a culmination. It's like putting the pieces of puzzle together. And I want to help you make sure that you're really ready for the changes in these new trends in our upcoming real estate market. Now, when should you get ready? Well, yesterday's the time to take action right now. Okay. Yesterday's the time to take action to make sure you are properly prepared to maximize your investing strategies in the very near future, because there's going to be some major changes. It's going to happen. It can't continue the way it's going. Now, back in 2009 to 2012, the financial implosion, the foreclosure tsunamis, many investors hit the wall, even in my town. They went belly up. They filed bankruptcy. Odds are you probably know some folks that did that, okay? And so they have recovered and they're back on their feet again, okay? But there's huge lessons to be learned from history. Now, real estate has repeated history cycles, and we've already reached the peak on this one that we're in right now. But real estate cycles kind of repeat themselves, and there's huge lessons to be learned on that. So here's some of the variables having a major impact on our real estate market for both homeowners and investors, okay? Now, low inventory. So for the last 3 to 5 years, the old supply and demand thing, okay? Not enough of this and too many buyers, prices go up. So we got not enough properties for sale, creates a seller's market, resulting in too many buyers. Okay, well, we've got too many buyers, not enough houses for sale. This created the bidding wars, where sellers are getting multiple offers over asking price within hours of putting their property up for sale. My little brother, he wanted to sell his home and build a new one over there across the river in Canada called Indiana. And he had owned that home for probably 8-9 years, I guess. And what he thought it was worth was nowhere near what today's market value was. So I said, here, let me help you out. I don't like doing listings, but I'll help my little brother out, you know. And so the price that I came up with was $100,000 more than what he thought it was worth. So my wife, Beth, bangs it all into the MLS. We get like 30 requests for showings within the first 24 hours. And he gets like 5 or 6 offers within that same period. And one of them was $30,000 over asking price, as is no inspections. Oh my gosh, talk about a seller's market. So that was pretty cool. And you've probably heard stories very similar to that in your town and wherever it is that you invest. Now, so we've got super low inventory, okay, and that's still going on right now, but it's fixing to change. I'll tell you about it in a minute. Now we've got super low fixed rate loans. So since the last tsunami, that financial foreclosure tsunami, what have the interest rates been for the last 10 years or so? They've been pert near zero. They've been super duper low, like they've never been before. In fact, and I haven't checked here in the last week or so, but right now, you know, the Fed's had, you know, for the last 6 months or so, something like that, the prime interest rate from the Feds was just a little bit above zero. That's crazy insane. My daughter refinanced her home, got 2.5% fixed for 30 years. Our good friend Randy Hammer, you may have heard him on here before. He jumped a loan down in Florida, and it had a 2.1% fixed rate loan that he was able to step in and jump the loan. So super low fixed rate loan since the last cycle, and we've never seen anything like that. The lowest they've ever been in history for the last 10 years. So the feds have kept the rate at almost zero. And this allowed buyers, get this, to qualify to buy higher priced homes. So if you could afford a $1,000 monthly payment, go look at how much money you could borrow, say at 3% versus 5%. And you'll see there's a huge, huge change in that. Same monthly payment. It's just that interest rate can affect how much house you buy. So this has triggered, okay, the low inventory, the super low fixed rate loans, this triggered outrageous spikes in appreciation that we've seen for the last 3 to 5 years. Bidding wars, if you will. So now, okay, on top of all that, what has also been going on is lenders have loosened up the qualifying standard. So immediately following the last tsunami, lenders canceled home equity line of credit. They canceled credit cards. And believe it or not, they went back to using credit scores to qualify to get a loan. And that made it much more difficult for folks to get approved for loans, especially for investors. Okay. Prior to the collapse back in 2009 to 2012, you know, all you had to do was fog a mirror and you could get a loan. No income, no docs needed, all this. That was crazy, insane. And so we went through that cycle, that mess, and huge lessons were learned. So for the last several years, lenders have really loosened up their qualifying standards again, resulting in a market that's chock full of buyers. Here's some proof. Recent and massive explosive growth in memberships of your local RIA groups, real estate investor associations, landlord groups, anybody that wants to invest in real estate, okay? Those associations, groups, whatever you want to call it, those have exploded in their membership, okay? And so proof of that is this. When we had the last financial tsunami, 9 to 12, what happened to all these live success seminars? And you could go to these big old things held in big auditoriums where people would come out and they're going to sell you and train you on how to do this and how to do that in real estate. That all dried up, didn't it? Well, what happened to the memberships in your local RIA groups? They dried and shriveled up too. Okay. And I can remember in 2011, my local group that was used to having 800 members was down to 44 active members. Okay. And so most of these, a lot of these groups, they disappeared after that last tsunami. Now, in our region, Ohio, the state of Ohio, the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association, they host an annual investor training convention in Cincinnati. And this is the biggest organized event in the nation. And before the last tsunami, attendance teetered around 1,600 people with a boatload of exhibitors and vendors. And then after the tsunami hit, it dropped to barely 400 people would attend. Okay. And so the last one that they had, they just had one a couple months ago, and attendance is back to well up over 1,000 again. I think I was told it's like 1,400 again. So that's good. So we've got folks jumping on the bandwagon, the real estate investing bandwagon, and that's growing. Okay. So now let's take a look at things affecting the real estate market right now. So as you know, unless you've been under a rock, the CDC eviction moratorium, that caused a ton of grief for rental property owners, right? And so the feds say, and then this went into effect back around March of 2020, and then it ended last year, but almost 18 months where tenants could jump on a bandwagon and say, I'm not paying rent. Well, this just caused a boatload of grief for rental property owners, okay? And so now that has expired. And so even though the federal eviction moratorium is over, okay, each individual state, city, county, whatever, they can create their own little baby eviction moratorium. So stay in tune, stay up to date with what's going on in your town. Okay, then we have the CDC foreclosure moratorium. This is huge. So that is over as well, but we had almost 18 months. So there's many homeowners, investors, what have you, that jumped on the bandwagon. Well, I'm not going to make payments because I don't have to. Okay, so lenders, the foreclosure moratorium, lenders were not allowed to foreclose on properties for almost 18 months on anything that had a federally backed loan. Okay, this included both homeowners and rental property owners. So these two federal moratoriums have expired and the foreclosure proceedings are active again. Now, remember, like I said on the eviction moratorium, some states and cities have created their own moratoriums extending these expiration dates. So make sure that you're current and up to date to that. Now, here's what we saw all over the news. there was something called forbearance. And this was promoted heavily during the onset of the COVID-19 shutdowns that began in March of 2020. Network News encouraged real estate owners to contact their lender to enroll or sign up for their forbearance program. Okay. Now, most loan documents, whether it be the mortgage or the promissory note or this and that, they have a very small two-line paragraph mentioning forbearance. However, get this, the details are never spelled out. They say, yeah, they have a forbearance program, okay, but it doesn't tell you the details of it. There's no fine print. So each lender, they can have their own forbearance program. So you might have Wells Fargo might have, here's their forbearance program. You might have Fifth Third Bank has theirs and what have you. So each lender, they can have their own version of their forbearance program. There's no universal standard or procedure like set up by the federal government on it. So many real estate owners seeing all this stuff on the network news, they believed that this is their lifesaver, allowing them to survive the COVID shutdown. So here's what many were told on the network news. Contact your lender, sign up for their forbearance plan program, and your lender will allow you to go 6 months with no loan payments. Sounds pretty good, don't it? But you don't know what the fine print is. So unfortunately, these news outlets failed to tell the borrower to get all the fine print and details about their lender's forbearance program. So many folks signed up for it. Most lenders allow 6 months of no payments, but here's what they fail to tell the borrower. On the seventh month, you go 6 months with no payments. On the seventh month, the borrower must make their loan current. This means they got to pay all the 6 months of deferred payments, many with late charges and extra fees, plus the seventh monthly payment. And that is brutal. So I can't tell you how many folks, homeowners and investors, both were blindsided by this. And this happened also in that last financial tsunami we had at 09 to 2012. So you stop making payments, this shows up on your credit report, destroying your credit score for non-payment. They don't tell you that when you sign up for the forbearance program. And many investors that have more than one property and one loan. So just imagine a nightmare discovering the fine print in a week or two before your seventh month payment is due and you got more than one loan. Whoa, that is brutal. Okay. So they had the foreclosure moratorium going on. Now you combine this, watch this one, and interest rates. This huge variable is already affecting our real estate market right now. Okay. The crazy high-priced seller's market cannot continue. It just can't. There will be a major adjustment in our market. Why? Because history says so. So for the last 12 to 18 months, my opinion on a market adjustment will be the result of all of these things combined, including the Fed's raising the interest rate. So for the last 12 months, my gut feeling on the excuse the Feds would use to raise the interest rates would be to curb inflation. Okay. Yeah, we're going to curb inflation. We're going to raise the interest rates to curb inflation. Okay. Well, this seemed to be a bullseye. Okay. And that's what they actually did and are doing. But never, ever did I expect the Feds to announce that they're planning on raising the interest rate 2 to 4 times this year. Not raising it once, raising it 2 to 4 times. They're telling the public, they're telling everybody, we're going to raise your interest rates 2 to 4 times in 2022 to curb inflation. Wow. So let's put all the pieces of this puzzle together right now. Okay. So inventory of properties for sale are going to grow. Then we're going to be back to the old supply and demand scenario. So too many properties for sale and not enough buyers. What happens to the prices? Well, the prices are going to plateau. They're even going to drop in some markets, depending on where you invest. Now, let me tell you what happened in my town, and it happens in most towns like Mayberry. And this was based on the last financial tsunami. Who took a bath? The luxury homes. The multi-million dollar luxury homes they were building, 8,000, 10,000, 15,000 square feet, they took a bath. So something that was selling 2.3 million, 2.5 million in my town, boom, it went to the courthouse. You could pick it up, $400,000. Okay. They're no longer building those luxury mansions anymore. They've come down to the real world for a lot of reasons. Now, the other end that took a bath on the last financial tsunami was the low income neighborhood properties. So, back then, we could get appraisals, sell them for $100,000. Right now, I see in my town, you can go into low-income neighborhoods and an investor that goes in there and rehabs it, fix it up nice and make it all wonderful. Okay. They're getting $200,000 for these things. Well, what's going to happen when this market changes? I can tell you what happened last time. Okay. Prices dropped. They dropped on those low income neighborhood houses. I was able to pick them up for $10,000, $15,000, and they'd rent for $700 or $800 a month. Now, I can't say that history is going to repeat itself to that level, but I am very confident that the ones that are going to take a bath are going to be the high end homes and the low income neighborhoods. Okay. The median price homes, like the first time homebuyer homes, you're going to see that appreciation is going to slow down and almost stop. And so if you live in Mayberry like me, we're going to see ripples, okay? We're not going to see dives and super big spikes and all like you've grown accustomed to in the last 3 to 5 years. But the median price homes are going to stay about the same. So too many properties for sale, not enough buyers. That's going to cause prices to plateau and even drop in some areas. So interest rates rising 2 to 4 times in the upcoming year means buyers can afford less house, right? So when foreclosure rates rise, foreclosures now, lenders usually tighten their qualifying standards, including shutting down your home equity line of credits and your credit cards. Why do I know that? Because that's what they did in the last one. Okay. And so if you invest in Mayberry, just like Louisville, odds are you'll see a drop in the values on the high end and the low end. The median price range, first-time homebuyers, you're going to see a ripple effect in market value, not a huge drop. So here's some things that you can do now so you don't miss the boat. Cash is always king. Okay, that's worth writing down. Cash is always king. He who has the cash makes the rules. Okay, so carefully review all of your loans and take a look at them with a sharp investor eye, like a 30,000 foot view. And here's the goal. Here's what I want you to look at right now. Okay, don't wait a month and do it. It might be too late. Okay, carefully review all of your loans with a goal of restructuring your debt. So if you're still growing your real estate business, consider cash out refis with a 30-year fixed rate loan. Get as many of those as you can if you're still growing your business, okay? At the moment, money is still cheap. Money is still cheap right now. I can't say it's going to be like that next week, but it is cheap right now. Do not make, never, ever do, okay? When you got these super low interest rates, it was tough for me to beat this into my son-in-law, into his noggin. Never, ever make additional principal payments on your loans when you got super low fixed rate loans. Instead, take that additional principal money that you would normally be adding to those payments and just put it into a dedicated savings account. And so those additional principal payments, you'll dump into that savings account. And when do you get access to it? You get access to that anytime you want. But now if you make extra principal payments, when do you get a benefit? Only at the end. You can't say, whoa, I've been making $500 a month extra principal payments. Now, you know, we've hit hard times. Can I have a window? No, they're not going to do that. So never, ever make additional principal payments when you got super low interest rates. And like I said, doing this allows you to get immediate benefit, whereas making additional principal payments gives you no benefit until the end of the loan. Number two, things you can do now so you don't miss the boat. Education. Just like you're listening to me right now, I listen and I learn and I make education a top priority in my annual budget, in my annual goals on things that I want to learn. So all sharp investors, they have education in their business plan for the year. No different than budgeting for property taxes, insurance, utilities, et cetera. You should set an annual dollar amount for education in a topic that you want to learn more about. So getting the right training, the education allows you, it gives you the ability, the skill, the expertise to see killer deals that your friendly competition cannot see. And the best way to describe that is go back and look at the episode where I talk about the Easter egg hunt on how to find deals. That will break it down into baby steps so you can really see exactly how that works so you can find killer deals that your competition can't even see. So income taxes, you think they're going to go down? No, they've already said they're going to go up. Income taxes are rising. So learn how you can get tax-free profit and income for life. That should be on your education list there, okay? So using your self-directed Roth IRA for you, your spouse, your kids, and your grandkids. Also, a health savings account has a double benefit. And a CESA education account for your kids and your grandkids. So for the lowest price annual fees for the self-directed accounts, I highly recommend Carl Fisher and his company called Cama Plan. That's C-A-M-A Plan, P-L-A-N.com. And they've got a ton of free training on there. And yes, I still have some old accounts. When I originally started in this with the traditional IRAs and the self-directed Roth IRAs, it was called Mid-Ohio Security. So Dick Desich and his two sons did that. And now they're known as Equity Trust. I still have some accounts there, but anything moving forward goes to Cama Plan. Okay. And as Carl Fisher says, listen to this. If you were a farmer, would you rather pay taxes on your seeds right now, and then you get to keep 100% of your harvest tax-free? Or would you rather defer paying taxes on your seeds, not pay taxes on the seeds, and then everything you grow and everything you harvest, you're going to have to pay income tax on all of your profits when you harvest it? That's it in a nutshell there, okay? So in summary, okay, I intend to give you some insight now on how you can take action right now so you can stay several steps ahead of the trends in our market. Always keep education a top priority in your life and in your business. And remember, life does not have a pause or rewind button. Okay. So look at your notes, review this one if you got to do it. And I've got to say this at the end of every one of these podcasts. Okay. Please share this with your fellow investors. This is important information that can really allow you to stay two steps ahead of what's coming down the pike. Okay. So share that with your fellow investors. Do the comments on there. Hit follow me, hit subscribe, whatever it is, all that stuff that we're supposed to do in social media. And I look forward to seeing you on our next podcast there. And when it comes right now, yeah, it's tax time too. So we're running a special on the Investor Books Pro System with tenant tracking. You can get 50% off right now. So just go to mikebutler.com. And you'll see, I don't know, it's called the Investor Books Pro System with tenant tracking. So get that. And we've got a course for your tax-free profit and income for life. So I hope this helps you out a bunch. I want to hear your success stories. See you on the next one. Adios. Bye-bye.
Glad you joined us for another episode of 5-Hour Real Estate Week. The best thing you can do now is put this information to action. To help you get started, Mike created a free resource for you called How to Buy 50 Houses a Year, Even with Your Job. Download it now by going to mikebutler.com/50houses. And we'll see you on the next episode.